welcome to the third episode of our Equitopia podcast, From the Horse's Mouth. This is Caroline Hegarty, founder of Equitopia. In this series, we are learning about the different journeys and perspectives of the people that make up an equine team. In episode one, we spoke to our lead trainer in the UK, Yasmin Stewart, about developing a team approach to caring for ourselves and our horses. In the last episode, we heard from Anne Ramsey, who shared some of her knowledge and experience in relation to hoof care. In this third episode, we're going to hear from our body worker, Katja Parento from Slovenia. I sat with Katja a couple of weeks ago and started off our conversation by asking her to tell me a bit about how she got started in the horse world.
Well, my story about how I got hooked on horses is a very typical story, I would say. I think when I was about 6 or 7, my family went on vacation to this mountain village, and next to our cottage there was a field of horses, and me and my cousins, we just every morning we would get up, go to the horses and spend the entire day with the horses in the field, and that was kind of, then we were all hooked. So naturally the thing that comes after that is enrolling in riding school, and that's how my journey began. So when I was 18, I got my first horse, and he had a lot of issues. He had arthritis in his hocks, he had sacroiliac issues, a lot of old injuries. So I first began to look for ways to help him, to help alleviate his pain and his discomfort. So I started looking into massage techniques and bodywork techniques. And it wasn't long after that that I decided that this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do with my life.
I'm starting to see a pattern here. Both Yasmin and Anne also spoke about how their relationship with horses began in early childhood. So it's starting to make sense how natural these people are around horses. Horses have been a presence for them during their entire lives, during their physical and emotional growth. This explains a little why I find it so amazing to watch Katja interact with horses she works with. She's a complete pro. However, while what she does makes so much sense to so many horse lovers, I imagine that as a body worker, her journey has not been entirely smooth. I asked her to tell me a little bit about her early days in her professional practice and if she encountered any pushback from riders or other equine professionals.
Well, in the beginning, I started off in Slovenia, which is a fairly small country with a small horse population. And being a body worker for horses was... Well, a lot of people were ridiculing it because it wasn't a normal thing back then. It was normal to have a vet, it was normal to have a farrier, but it wasn't normal to have a body worker. So it took me a while to convince people that that is something that horses need, and that it's not just, that it's not pointless. So that took a few years until the results started kind of showing, and people started seeing that it does make a difference, and it is a big change in the horse afterwards. And also there was a lot more influence from abroad, from other countries where bodywork is normal. So things started to change. I think it was mostly the pushback was from competitive riders. So amateur riders were way more open to doing things differently and trying new things, whereas competitors were convinced that horses just don't need that, that the vets offer all they can. And also there was a lack of understanding from the vet's side, because I never got any support from vets saying that that could have a positive effect on the horse's health. So I kind of felt like I was very alone in what I was doing. I did get pushback from trainers when I started to realize that regardless of how much body work you do, if the training isn't correct, then the issues are going to keep coming back. So when I started discussing with riders about changing their training, then it was a bit of a, I did get into conflicts with certain trainers.
This is something I've heard from other professionals also. Of course, it's much easier to follow a narrow approach to equine care, where professionals only concern themselves with their direct area of expertise. But easy is not always right. I asked Katja to tell me a bit about the challenge she faces now in her profession and how being part of Equitopia helps her.
I think most of the challenges that I face now have to do with just how much information there is available online. There is a flood of information. Riders don't know where to turn for correct and proper information. And sometimes they trust people that maybe they shouldn't trust. So we have more and more people coming up claiming to be trainers, claiming to be farriers, claiming to be body workers when they don't have the necessary qualifications or the knowledge. So that would definitely be one of the challenges of today, I think. Well, as I said, I felt very much alone in what I was doing, and I managed to find a trainer in Slovenia that I did like. So we started kind of cooperating, but we needed something more. We needed more of a support network. So I found Equitopia's videos and I was like, yes, this is it. This is what we need. We need to bring this into our country, into every country.
Yeah, I agree. I next asked Katja where she has personally seen improvement in the equestrian world over the past few years and what she thinks still needs to change.
I do think there is more demand for doing things differently, and I do think there are more people who want a genuine relationship with their horse. But how to find that, that's the major issue, because you have people claiming that they can teach you and then, you know, they use methods that aren't really horse friendly. But I do think there's more people who want more, and there's more people who realize that knowledge is an important thing, and that it's important to gain education. And yeah, I think that's the demand. The demand is much bigger now, demand for something better. We definitely need better legislation in terms of what is welfare and what do horses need, what a happy horse means, and there needs to be more research into some of the methods that are not horse friendly when they claim to be. So we need more research on equine welfare, equine biomechanics, and ethology, after all.
I definitely agree that we must keep learning and searching for better ways to do things. Personally, I'm so excited about the Research Revealed feature, which we do every month as part of our membership program. A lot of great research is being done, but we need to reap the benefits of this to bridge the researchers with practitioners so that positive change really happens and is based on evidence. I went on to ask Katja what she thinks the future holds for the equestrian world.
I think it's only going to get better. I do really think that positive change will happen, because there's also more and more pressure from the public for things to change. And the general public doesn't tolerate horse abuse as much as it did, I think, or animal abuse in general. So I think there will be a lot of positive changes in the future, because the equestrian federations will be forced to make changes that are in the best interest of the horse, not the sport.
I agree. The equestrian federations have an important role in ensuring equestrianism develops in a positive way. I next asked Katja to recommend a couple of books that have impacted her.
I think Dr. Liebrand's book is definitely on top of that list, because it does explain the whole concept of correct and healthy biomechanical training. I think The Nature of the Horse by Budiansky is very good, because it does kind of explain horse ethology, their natural behavior, their genetics, and it makes it a bit easier to understand what kind of a horse, an animal, the horse actually is.
As with other professionals I interviewed, I asked Katja to briefly describe what she would be looking for in members of an equine team. Firstly, I asked her what role the veterinarian plays.
Okay, what I expect from a vet in today's horse world is for him to understand horse biomechanics, because you cannot have a healthy horse without healthy biomechanics. And I do feel that vet schools in the past have lacked education on biomechanics. So I think it is very important for a vet to understand how the horse's body moves, or how it should move under the rider. So the vets, I hope, should know more about the effects of negative riding, and they should know more about healthy techniques. They should know more about the function of muscles and fascia and their role in movement.
I then asked her what she considers the role for trainers.
What I would like for trainers to understand is that training is basically the active part of physiotherapy. So it's the flip side of bodywork, basically. And oftentimes you cannot resolve an issue without proper training. So it's really important for the bodyworker and the trainer to cooperate very well, because the bodyworker can release a certain part of a horse's body, but then it's up to the trainer to kind of strengthen it, or to teach the horse how to not use it incorrectly, and then it goes hand in hand.
Then what she considers a good nutritionist should bring to the table.
it's important to understand that in order for the horse to be healthy and to work correctly, all the pieces need to fit. And it's important to provide the horse with the nutrition it needs. And oftentimes the problem is that the horse will be lacking certain minerals or microminerals, and it's up to the nutritionist to notice that and to notice the symptoms of that and to rectify it and to educate owners about what proper nutrition means, because often the commercial feeds available might not be the best option.
Here's what Katia said about the role of farriers.
Well, the feet are, as the saying goes, no feet, no horse. So the farrier is such an important actor in the whole story of the horse. So it's really important for the farrier to realize just how big of an impact his work has on the movement of the horse and the horse's performance. So it's really important to cooperate between all the different professionals, between the farrier and the body worker. So the body worker can say, okay, there was a lot of tension in the horse's shoulders this month. Were there any changes in the feet, and how does that reflect? So it's important for them to understand that the foot doesn't end where the hoof ends. It has an impact on the entire body of the horse.
The role of the new science of equine behavior.
Certain issues in equine behavior are very difficult to rectify with just training or just body work. For some things, you really need an expert who knows about horse psychology and who knows about behavioral theory and learning theory. And some problems you cannot solve just on a physical level, but you do need the involvement of the mental level. And that's where the behaviorist steps in, so we can make the horse better in a physical and a mental way, because those two things go hand in hand.
I asked Katia to talk about her ideal body worker from her own perspective as a body worker herself.
Well, it's important to make the horse comfortable and to make him be able to move without restrictions, because if you have restricted tissue, if you have tightness in the back or in the fascia, the horse is not going to be able to do what you ask him to. You can have the best trainer in the world, but if the horse is completely restricted and is not able to move correctly, you won't have any progress. So you need to keep making sure that the tissues can work, and then you put them to work. It's not fair to ask the horse to work when he cannot.
And so we have come to the end of our third episode. I have to say, I really enjoyed talking to Katia. She is a natural, but much more than that. She is at the top of her game, but rather than resting on her laurels, she keeps trying to raise the bar. Katia is constantly looking for ways to keep learning, whether this is through attending clinics, workshops, reading, research, or just talking to other equestrians. I really love and admire this attitude. So this is my thought for you today. Do you consider yourself a lifelong learner? Do you try to increase your knowledge about your sport? Do you think it's important to keep learning? And how are you doing this? I hope you've enjoyed listening. I'm going to leave the last word to Katia, where she offers her advice to riders. Thanks so much for listening. Tune in next month for more From the Horse's Mouth.
Trust your instincts. It's really important. You know your horse better than anyone else. If you feel he is not quite right, do something about it. Research it. Keep digging until you feel that he is right.